Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and reading today from the Free Grace Broadcaster, Winter 2021. And it's about church and state this time. This comes every quarter, and I've told you many times, I'll tell you again, you can have this yourself. It's free. It's totally free. Just write to chapel@mountzion.org. Tell them you'd like to receive the Free Grace Broadcaster every quarter. They'll send it free to your home. Of course, you can send them an offering, but you don't have to. And there's a different topic each time. This time, as I said, church and state, based on Romans 13:1, the powers that be are ordained of God. And you'll find different men. Now, the men of God that are used in this particular quarter aren't as familiar as some as that we've had before. This is Christopher Goodman. He was an English Puritan minister, lived from 1519 to 1602. He was actually co-pastor with John Knox of the English Church in Geneva. So, good man, right? Don't you think? I've said before, and I don't say this normally with this quarterly, because I'm usually in perfect agreement, or near perfect agreement with everything they say, but I'm holding back just a little bit on this. I want you to look at some of these opinions of these different men are a little different from each other. So I'm just saying, I'm not swearing by all of this. Just take it. Try to discern it. See if it fits with the scripture. This isn't the most important theme of the Bible, but it's in the Bible. Let's talk about it. He talks about true obedience in civil and religious oppression. And he uses Acts 4:19 as his text. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you judge." Well, there's nothing to be compared to true obedience in preserving the commonwealth of towns and cities and kingdoms, or in maintaining true religion, Christian peace, and concord. For by that means every man is instructed how to render unto God his due honor and glory, and to man that which his office requires. Even so, nothing is more hateful to God, and neither more harmful to man, than to be so bewitched with Satan's false illusions that they are not able to distinguish between obedience and disobedience. But as men without all judgment and natural sense, they take the one for the other, being in themselves plainly contrary. That alone is the cause of all disorder and lamentable confusion, wherewith the entire world is both this day and has been also from the beginning most miserably defaced and oppressed. For when vile man, replenished with pride, vainglory, and gross ignorance, measures obedience with the crooked line of his own corrupt judgment, and not with the infallible truth of God's holy word, he must prefer his own decrees and fantasies and ordinances to the comfortable laws and living precepts of God, his Creator. And then, in place of justice, he receives injustice. For right, wrong. For virtue, vice. For law, will. For love, hatred. For truth, falsehood. For plain dealing, dissimulation. For religion, superstition. For true worship, detestable idolatry. And to be brief, for God, Satan, for Christ, Antichrist. And with Antichrist, he receives such plagues of God and disorder among men as are this day set before our eyes to behold in all places throughout the universal world, and have been likewise even from the beginning. Adam was placed in paradise, being a creature most perfect and abounding in all wisdom and heavenly knowledge. But at the persuasion of his wife, he measured obedience by his own reason rather than by the word and sentence of God before pronounced. And behold, he was not only spoiled of wisdom and knowledge, he became a very fool in comparison to what he was before. And suddenly destitute of all other singular gifts, such as innocence and immortality. He was confounded at the voice of the Lord. He was ashamed of his own nakedness, And he felt the dreadful indignation and curse of God, which he had procured, not only to himself, but upon all his posterity after him. When the entire world was so corrupted in their own eyes in the days of faithful Noah, no regard at all was given to the obedience of the living Lord, nor yet to the godly admonitions of just Noah. But every man was drowned in his own lusts, so that the space of 120 years was not sufficient to move them to repentance. Therefore, they could not escape the strange and horrible judgment of God, which immediately followed most justly. And though that wicked generation abounded in all kinds of wickedness against God and man, to such a degree that the earth might then be thought of as a very hell, yet from whence proceeded all that rebellion against God's mighty majesty? Was it not only that they measured all things after their own corrupt reason and not by his holy laws and precepts? They had received his laws and precepts from their forefathers, heard them from Noah, yes, and had them engrafted naturally in their hearts. The reprobation whereof might easily be deduced from all ages, even to our time, by innumerable and evident examples, if it were needful in so plain a matter. For who is so blind that he cannot see how man never shows his rebellion so much as when he would be most obedient in his own sight and judgment, not measuring his obedience by the straight line and true touchstone, which is the law and word of God, but suffering himself to be led by his own corrupt judgment and affections? This turned the wisdom of the Gentiles into mere foolishness, inventing shameful idolatry for true worship, as the apostle witnesses in Romans 1:25. This blinded the Jews with hypocrisy and cloaked holiness, making the law of the living Lord give place to their invented traditions by man. From out of the stinking puddle of man's brain have issued forth such great diversity of opinions and dangerous heresies by which the Church of God has been horribly tormented at all times. And finally, from that, Antichrist has filled his pestilent cup of all sorts of deadly poison, whereof he has made almost the whole earth and her kings and princes not only to drink, but to be most vilely overcome and drunk. I've got to stop here just for a second and let you know that in this particular time of history of the church, when they spoke of Antichrist, they were speaking of Roman Catholicism, what was going on in the Roman Catholic system, in whose defense they have armed themselves against the Lord and Christ his Son. With imprudent mouths they profess Christ, whereas indeed they persecute him most cruelly and his saints by all means possible. They fight as men in a rage under the banner of that filthy beast. And yet these men, in the middle of their fury, without all obedience and order, subverting the laws of God and of nature, notwithstanding will be called the defenders of the faith, maintainers of true religion, authors of peace, teachers of obedience, and most discreet governors of commonwealths and policy. Therefore, to the intent that these distinguished persons, who abuse the whole world, and may appear in their true character and be known as they are indeed, I have thought it good, having occasion by this worthy answer of Peter and John, to write of true obedience, namely what God himself requires of us, and what he commands to be given to men, whereby, God willing, the disguised cloaks and crafty pretenses of obedience used and practiced by the ungodly worldlings shall be revealed. They have sought always, and do seek, under the pleasant name of obedience, only to maintain their ambition, pride, and liberty. By that we shall learn how in times past we have been shamefully abused in yielding to the willful will of man, in obeying his ungodly commandments, and fearing man more than God. Finally, having more light and fuller knowledge, we shall learn how it behooves us to repent our former ignorance and to redress the same with diligence. That we may have more sensible feelings of all these things, let us diligently consider this answer of Peter and John, to whom it was made, and upon what occasion. Peter and John answered and said to them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you judge. That's Acts 4:19. These two apostles, through the malice of the priests, the governor of the temple, and the Sadducees, were violently thrown into prison the night before, for they had been preaching the resurrection from death in the name of Jesus to the people at Jerusalem in the porch of Solomon. The next day following, they were set forth and presented to the whole Senate and Council of Jerusalem, all the chief rulers and elders of the people of Israel, Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and men of great reputation, with others of the kindred of the high bishop, would examine the apostles. In whose name or power had they cured the lame cripple? He was more than 40 years old, lame from his birth, and brought daily to the porch of Solomon to beg his alms. Peter, who replenished him with the Holy Spirit, answered with great boldness that they wrought that miracle in the name and power of Jesus Christ, the true Nazarite. The Jews had crucified him, and God had raised him from the dead. The mouths of the whole council were stopped, and had nothing to say against them. But as men astonished, they wondered at the constant boldness of Peter and John in their answer. Luke then reports that the whole council, that is, all these forenamed magistrates, by common consent, straitly charged the apostles Peter and John thereafter not to speak to any man so much as once, much less to preach in the name of Jesus. They thought by this means to stop the course of the gospel and hinder the glory of Christ. And they had crucified him as a malefactor and blasphemer of God's name. And although they were destitute of all reason and scripture to answer the apostles, who had already confounded them, yet through authority and punishment that they threatened, they thought craftily to put the apostles to silence, and so at length to obtain the victory. As we see this day, the papists, that is the Pharisees' successors, are express enemies of the gospel. They are sworn soldiers of Antichrist, and being overcome with the manifest scriptures, and their blasphemous mouths stopped with the truth of God's word, they fight maliciously against Christ. They do so with power, authority, threatening, horrible punishments, and cruel murder. Therefore, they resemble that old serpent whose brood they are. He was a murderer from the beginning, John 8:15. But when the whole assembly had craftily consulted and wrought all that they could against the faithful servants of God, they were nevertheless disappointed from their purpose, for the glory of Christ shined more brightly. The truth of his gospel was better known and published farther, and their falsehood and raging madness were more apparent and abhorred by the godly. What extreme madness it was to set themselves against God. They trusted in their own power as though they were able to resist and overcome the power of the Almighty, which is the gospel of our Savior, Jesus Christ, as the apostle witnesses. To think that the threatening of men should prevail more with the apostles of Christ than the threatening of God and his horrible judgments appointed for the disobedient? The Jews could not destroy Christ and his doctrine while he was mortal and lived amongst them in the flesh. Yet would they think they could bring that to pass when he was risen again by his mighty power and made immortal? If they could not keep him in the grave for all their diligent watch when he was dead and buried, did they think it possible to pluck him down from heaven, from the right hand of his Father, where he sits and reigns in everlasting glory? Oh, vain and foolish men! Jesus has already overcome the entire world. Christ has cast forth from it the chief prince and ruler, Satan, who is no longer able to prevail against his truth and servants. Are you more subtle or stronger than Satan, who is your Lord and Master, so long as you fight against Christ, the Son of God? If so mighty a prince as Christ withstood his power, do you lewd soldiers of Satan think to obtain the victory? Death, which no man can escape, could not hold Christ, neither could the power of hell prevail against him. Yet would you have him at your commandment, most malicious and traitorously fighting against his honor? But, oh miserable and vile wretches, double is your condemnation in the sight of God. You're not content to forsake Christ yourselves, but you maliciously labor to frustrate others of his most comfortable graces with your threatening. Full well does our Savior Christ paint forth your raging every day, saying, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in." That little piece is from a book called How Superior Powers Ought to Be Obeyed by Their Subjects. And you can see that in this section, he wasn't really talking about what this whole booklet is talking about the secular powers. Well, he was, wasn't he? And we don't have to obey them, do we, when they are going to come against our preaching of the gospel? Yes, there's where we have to become disobedient. But there's going to be other things about the government coming up in the next few times. And remember, those of you who are having trouble thinking, how could they say such things against Rome? You and I have never lived where they lived and how they lived in the midst of the corruption that they lived that was in the so-called church of that day. You have never lived and seen martyrs burned at the stake because they just wanted to preach the word of God, or because they wanted to translate the word of God into the language of the people. Oh, it was evil. It's still evil, but it's hiding right now. There are places in the world where you could go today and still not be very happy as a born-again believer in Jesus. But they're, for the most part, trying to tone it down temporarily. Don't be surprised if what you have seen in your past will still be in your future. That's all for this time. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, talk to you soon. Bye-bye.